We skipped ahead a little bit, but we're going to go back. In verse 8, chapter 5, verse 8. Are we on?
Yeah.
If thou seest the oppression of the poor, and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not, or don't be upset about it. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth it, and there be higher than they. So we remember we talked about that. The universal understanding of this, no matter if you have 25 different rabbis considering it, is that Israel wasn't concerned about what was going on in the world, and the church shouldn't be concerned about what's going on in the world. It's not our business. We are of a different kingdom, a different order. Does everybody understand that? That's not a very widespread belief system in these days. Hasn't been for many, many years. If you do, huh?
I think it's spoken a lot, but not understood what it actually means to be a son of the kingdom. I talked about it after you left last night, but then that born again thing. But the new kingdom that we've been delivered into, I mean, we talk about it all the time. But I know sometimes I don't even.
Yeah, why do you count that?
Pardon me?
Yeah, why do you count that?
Why do I know that?
Like, you don't bother that. Okay. Go, Gary.
Ronnie, there's a chair for you outside.
Trying to derail me.
He's trying to.
Well, that born again thing is the basis. It's kind of important.
Yeah.
Now, I pray that each one of you know that you have been born again. I know and pray that you've examined yourself. The only time you're supposed to examine yourself. Look at that. Let's go there. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 4, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power, or by the efficacy, or by the ability of God toward you. Now, this is the nothing in this Bible is meaningful unless you know what born again means. So it says, listen to often, he says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves. You can't know it by theory. You cannot know it except to examine yourself. And if you have not been born again, then you're wasting your time. You know, go on, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. If your life is still you, then you're a fool. If there is anything in you that still longs after or wants something out there, then the odds are you better be careful because you may not have been born again. If there's no, you know, you can say, well, I'm pregnant. Well, that's fine. Christ is in you. So what? He's all over the place. The question is, have you examined yourself? Know you for your own self. Have you proven it to your own self? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. If you don't know that, then you are incapable of repentance. All you'll try to do is to try to say you're sorry, or I'll try to do better, or you'll never, ever, ever come to the understanding that Jesus Christ is in you. A reprobate is one who is incapable of repentance. They can repent after the world system, but they can't repent from God's standpoint because they don't believe there's anything there. If they're not there, how can they abandon themselves? If what are you going to abandon yourself into nothing? That's why the common statement is, if I did what you said, Ole, I'd go sit in a corner. Or if I did what you said, or if I, seems to me all you're talking about is death. Christianity has nothing to do with the human race. Christ has nothing to do with you. It's settled. It's forever settled that you are lost, hopeless, and not more, no longer to be tested. You have no value to God except as a vessel. Is that maybe hitting somebody? So how then can you possibly, if you know this, how can you possibly be concerned with what you're doing? How can you possibly still long after the same things that the world does? Except you be born again, you can't even perceive the kingdom of God. This is why that for centuries now, or for at least as long as I've been alive, which is probably centuries, the Lord's Prayer is screwed up because it says, if you 99.999999% of the population says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth, on earth, on earth. The only way that you can perceive the kingdom of God is by its being some benefit to you or the world. It isn't. The kingdom of God's entrance into the world condemned the world, the same as Noah's obedience condemned the world. From God's perspective, the world ended, really, at Jesus' birth, at Rosh Hashanah, which is Judgment Day. Do you all understand this, or is this too weird for you?
Personally, when I do this, when I examine myself, I'm just thinking how it's like to me. I go out and I do stuff in the world, but I always come home. You know, it's like a journey here, but I find nothing that sticks, and I end up back in Him. But I go out again, and I always come back, so I know where home is. That's the way I can.
But the point of it is that no matter where you go, you better know.
Yeah, well, if I stop and consider it at any point,
But my point that you have to hear, though, is that you can no longer use the tools of the kingdom of darkness and live in the kingdom of light, because the tools of the kingdom of darkness will draw you back into the kingdom of darkness. So if you're using cause and effect or anything else, no matter what it is you're doing, you'll be drawn back into the kingdom of darkness. It's just like if you give breath to a good idea, then you fall from the strong city. If you're offended by somebody, then you fall from a strong city. It's so, to me, there's a bright shining light that there's no more subtlety, and that's what I want you to see, so that there is some kind of zeal, so there's no mixing. No matter where you are, you don't mix with the system. Remember, the only two things that Christ said he hated were the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans is success in God's name. The doctrine of the Balaam is mixing. Trying to mix the two systems, the two worlds, the two kingdoms. You got to live in one or the other. That's why if I've told you so ever since I opened my mouth, that's the reason I keep telling you to push every barrier, so that there is no tendency whatsoever for your mind to want to live in the kingdom of darkness. so that you know that everything out there is the kingdom of darkness, so that you know the world is on fire, just burning very slowly. It's called the second law of thermodynamics. So that you know everything is corruption out there. But if you don't know that, then you're going to try, by its nature, to have expectations and agendas, and you're going to try to bring that into the kingdom of God, and then you'll wonder why you forget. This is pretty serious, folks. In my opinion, the door is closing. It's just like it's been raining for 40 days and 40 nights, and now the door to the ark is closing. Or I better say that differently. You understand that no one at the time of Noah had ever seen rain? You really understand what that means? So when he said that it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, he didn't know what he was talking about. Well, that didn't seem fair. You want to try fair?
No.
Fair is good to stay away from. Well, let's learn how to use this to have a nice marriage. Or let's learn how to use this so that we can know how to raise kids. Or let's know how to use this so you can be successful in business. Can't be done. What?
Right.
You look like it's the first time you've heard Torah.
No, but what you just said can't be used to be successful in business. I know that from experience. It's like, let's channel the rain.
But some of you, I'm sorry, you're still thinking there's two different worlds. There's a secular world and a spiritual world. No, there isn't. Well, and I have my own private life, and then I have my God stuff life. No. I promise you, it's without question that you will leave.
What you're talking about is something nice. I'm going to talk with the religious lovers this morning about it. Is being in two worlds there. In my case, I do it as a something to fall back on. I look at it as, well, if this world don't work out, well, I've got a foot over here in this one, and I'll, that way I won't fall flat on my face. But I'm starting to see the danger of that.
It can't be done.
I can't.
It's impossible. There isn't enough time to have aces in the hole anymore. There isn't enough time to have your foot or your elbow or any other part of you in the world. Does anybody not believe me? Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's have a chat. Let's have a chat before we do any Bible study. There are people that come over here, and you know, it's like I'm their curiosity. They want their friends to see. I'm the little freak show. Yeah, wait until you see this. And so they bring them over here, and they've been doing it for 30 years. Tell me about it. They do it for 30 years and still have no friggin' idea what I'm talking about.
I should tell you something.
I can't believe you said that.
I just gave you a little something.
trying to feed the lion, are you? How can we use that?
funny comment. It gives me great joy to have my flesh revealed, to see how I'm guilty of stuff. You know, when we're talking like this morning, I know I'm guilty of wanting to make two kingdoms operate compatibly. And knowing it's one thing, but having an emotional reality, you know, having it combined with my heart and mind together, is it kind of explodes at that point.
It should create great fear.
Well, to me, it's a joy because I know what to repent of. I don't. So, otherwise, I walk in darkness, not knowing what to repent of. If I'm in darkness, the devil knows what to do in darkness. But that reveals, like, wow.
It's like, right now I'm in so much pain I can hardly breathe. I mean, it's been that way for the last 2 or 3 days. I wouldn't trade the pain for anything. Not that I like pain, but if this is what God has given me, in order that I can stay in the mystery, then nothing else is more important.
You know, the statement you just made, this is what God is doing, is really impossible. No, it's like, this is what God has given me. And what reason why it becomes a sad conversation with the family members. And I forget what it was, but it had to do with, you know, being here where I'm at.
Do you know that, and you may not believe me, but I can honestly say with everything in me that there is nowhere else I'd rather be, and there's nothing else I'd rather be doing. There's no changes that I would make in my life. There are no changes that I'd make in anyone else's life. You have to see that. There's no if-onlys. There are no what-ifs. And therefore, I perceive myself as the most fortunate that it's possible to be on the face of the earth. Nothing I want. There's nothing I need. Because I've learned something through all this crap, that when I pray, if I happen to pray for something, what God gives me is more of Himself. Not the thing I pray for. I mean, it happens sometimes, but that's not the issue. I mean, it's critical. On the website for the New Yorker magazine, there's the article by Burkhardt, and the tagline is, God doesn't need Ole Anthony. All right. Amen. The article isn't up, but that gave me great hope when I saw that. And that's what I want for each of you, to know the fullness of the riches of His inheritance, the wonder of His calling. It's all Him. Now, if you don't, you know, and Paul said, I think in Romans, the night is far spent. if the night was far spent 2,000 years ago? It's just about dawn. Now, you think you want dawn. I promise you, if there's any part of you still left in the world, you don't want dawn. Take heed as to the light shining in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. That's not something we look forward to if you're still in the world. That's why it said, this thing that he said, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. Now, notice the construction of that. The heavens being on fire. In other words, they're already on fire. The earth being on fire will be dissolved. It's the last in nanosecond before that which is on fire is vaporized. It's talking about the heavens and the earth and all that's therein. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heaven and a new earth, or a new land, new promise, not earth like earth round, new land, new promised land. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. The only place the scriptures say dwelleth righteousness is in the New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. Wherein, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. The only way you can be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless is for you to have died. No, you died at the cross. You never have existed. That's what's so ironic. There's been this being masquerading as you, and you've never existed.
Oh no, God, blah 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 blah.
An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. If you can see, if you're waiting for and hasting unto this day, then maybe you'll start to understand his long suffering. It's been ready for 2,000 years. It's been that this night has lasted 2,000 years since sunset. On the day he was crucified. And that was at 3 in the afternoon, or wherever it was. And you're just living in this goofy life, thinking that you're something, and wanting to be the thing, and wanting to have esteem, and wanting to have this, and wanting to have that, and oh, poor you, blah, blah, blah. Oh, but my thoughts are important. Not as important as mine. My ideas are real. No, they're not. They're stupid. They're an attempt to flee from the revelation of Christ. But my feelings, my self-esteem, my God. You're a joke. Cosmic joke, thinking that you're important.
You sent me that last little bit about for the last word about the candle, and that was perfect.
About what?
Shannon, she was talking about what's important.
No, I said I talked about with winded Christians become champions, you know, which is the new thing that's spreading all over all television and not just television, every. It's just goofy. I said that Shannon was more important than all of the champions that have ever lived on the face of the earth because she was without guile. And I'm less than meaningful. I have less than any importance except as his vessel. The vessel doesn't care what it doesn't have any say in what it contains. You, the only thing that you have is the illusion that you, the Antichrist, the evil one, have taken over the temple of God that rightly belongs to God, that was only created for God, and you've usurped, or the evil one has usurped it in your name, and he's been masquerading as you since the day you were born. You got all these nice thoughts and little ideas and little hopes and little dreams, and every one of them, its purpose is to keep you from knowing what I just said to you. So that the temple would be filled with something other than its intent. And then you continue to hear this over and over and over every day. 5 minutes later, you're deceived by something. The night is far spent. There's no more time. We didn't even study the Bible this morning. And I'm out of time.
Gary's fault, we were doing fine. You had up this big mouth.
Said one verse and then went off.
Anybody have any response?
Yeah. A lot of things you said this morning. I tend to think that means that it's stupid to go anyplace else and not just stay here.
Now, see, that created the great conflict. Which is the purpose. But you can't, it doesn't have any meaning unless you know it. So go do it quickly. But don't use this, you have total liberty, but don't use the liberty for the occasion of the flesh. If you can honestly say that I am doing this so I can see the end, then go do it and do it quickly and he'll wait for you. But if you're doing it so that because you think there's a there, how many theres is it going to take for you to find out there's no there? I pray that's true. And I'll, with that in mind, I'll lay hands on you and send you there. But God help you if you're lying.
I have one.
You tell a story on Ronnie?
Yeah, I'm going to tell a story on Michael. Oh. He was in here going through this book called The American West, Land of Dreams. This big picture of you saying, "Now, this is the place I went by on the strip." You know, so the enemy was all spread out over here, you know, and he was sitting there. I come back later, take the trash out, open the trash can, there's the book in the trash can. So I take that as a hopeful sign.
Well, it depends on who threw it in the trash can.
I was just pulling out the pages of the pictures I liked.
Oh.
I think the worst. Designing his own west.
Put him under your mattress. So
no, that's that, that. No, no, no. That's why. That's what I loved. I used to love the. I don't know if he still does or not. But Harry'd have pictures of his old girlfriend or first wife or something. And it just made me crazy. You had all these pictures.
oh, pining after that first love.
Turn suddenly back to you, Harry.
Pictures.
That Harry. Just one more step and I'll be able to reach that carrot. One more step.
I'll be able to get out of that monkey trap. Just eat that one banana and save that banana. I've got good plans for that banana. All right, I'm tired. Take it, big guy.